Thank you very much, Nathan, for that. We pray that that would be all of our heart's desires, would be that Jesus Christ would draw us to himself, even through this service, nearer, still nearer to him.
As a church family, we get to look at a text of Scripture this morning that I hope will be encouraging to us and compelling at the same time. So in your Scriptures, would you go to the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 10 this morning, primarily at one verse, but a few of the verses on each side of verse 6 of Luke chapter 10. Be praying for Pastor Jim this morning. He is not feeling well this morning, and he has a full week ahead of him, and I know he would covet our prayers for his health and strength as he battles what appears to be flu and desires our intercessory prayer on his behalf. As we look at this text, there's something in this text that, to me, as I have been and teaching in the Homekeepers class, a series on gospel advance or missions, there's a text that we looked at last Sunday that has been kind of a pebble in my shoe, if that means anything to you. Sometimes you're walking down a road, you get a pebble in your shoe or a sandal, and you think maybe it's something that will work its way out, but it just keeps being there and keeps not only necessarily being an irritant, but being something that you are mindful of, and your mind keeps going back to it. And there's a phrase in Luke chapter 10 that has been that to me this last week. And before we get to that, I'll ask you this question because it matches the phrase in the text, and that would be, what gives you great joy? We would know that there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness may be affected by circumstances, joy is not. Happiness may be found in something that's temporal. Joy is more internal than external. So if I were to ask you this morning, what brings you great joy? I wonder what you would answer. For those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, there are many things that would bring us joy. Even being drawn nearer, still nearer to Jesus Christ brings us joy. But there's also joy that comes when we hear of someone else trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. We know that we are not what we want to be, nor not what we will be someday, but we're not what we used to be either. When we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, when we saw ourselves as sinners on our way to hell without Jesus Christ, and we saw that Jesus Christ is the answer by what he did on the cross for us, and we put our confidence not in our own works or our own good deeds or our own religion, but in what Jesus Christ has done for us and the work that he has done in our behalf, we placed our confidence in him. The Scriptures tell us that we were born again, that we left the realm, if you will, of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of light, that we have left death and are now alive in Jesus Christ. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That brings incredible joy. It also brings joy to our hearts when we hear that others have gone the same route. Tonight, in our evening service, we get to hear, Lord willing, we get to hear three testimonies of salvation before young people follow the Lord in baptism. But not only will we hear their testimony of salvation, we get to hear others who are affirming that God is at work in their life, that they indeed show new life in Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing to behold, that being a new creation. There are only two groups of people in our world today, the haves and the have-nots. So you either have Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, or you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no gray area. It's like being alive. You're not kind of alive this morning. You may feel that way, but technically, you're either not alive, dead, or you are alive, living. You either have placed your trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, or you are still trusting in your own self for righteousness. So this morning, we would love for you to consider where you are as a person before Jesus Christ. We would love for you to evaluate their life, your life. Has there been a time? Are you currently trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? And can you see a nearer, still nearer relationship with Jesus Christ? Or would you say this morning, I feel like my life is dead. I don't have this life. I don't have this draw by the Holy Spirit in my life. If God stirs your heart this morning, would you do this? Even as you're sitting there this morning, would you say, God, if you stir my heart toward knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior, I will follow your lead. I will inquire as to what this means to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. This could be the greatest day of your life, and would be the greatest day of your life if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. Our desire at Suba Road Baptist Church is that others would know the life in Christ that we as followers of Jesus Christ know. We covet that for others. And Luke chapter 10 tells us how we can be used by God in this process. So beginning in verse 1 in your scriptures, as we look at this text this morning, ask God to stir your heart, even toward seeing others come to know Jesus as Savior. Verse 1 says this, after this, and I'll pause there, even after just two words we're stopping. This would, anytime you see that type of phrase, you have to say, what is the this? And if we were to look back into chapter 9, we're going to see Jesus outlining the high cost of following him. So after this description of the high cost of following Jesus, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. Now, in this dynamic of this text, we have to realize there's a key issue here, and the issue is that this text is about advancing the gospel. This text is not necessarily about doing good to people, although this would be involved. But this is about gospel advance, even in a hostile territory. Verse 2, and he said to them, the harvest, gospel advance, is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Gospel advance. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. In other words, they were to travel lightly, and they were to keep moving. And here's verse 6. This is the pebble in the shoe, or at least my shoe. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. So according to verse 6, it appears that we are to be looking for what God is doing. There's a person of peace or a son of peace that's identified here. We are to be looking for those in whom God is already working. We are to be sensitive to what God is doing in the hearts and lives of others. We could phrase this as the title of the sermon this morning would be, Seeking Spirit-Prepared People. So let me encourage you with this. The pressure is off of you, and the pressure is already on the Holy Spirit of God. It's not up to you to force someone into a prayer of salvation. It's not up to you to work in their heart. We are to be sensitive to look for those in whom God is already working. And then we get to partner with the Lord to bring them to Jesus Christ. Verse 7. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. So you may remember a couple of weeks ago, we looked, as a congregation, we looked at John chapter 15, where the scripture implores us to abide in Christ. He is the vine, we are the branches. And the picture there is nourishment comes up from the soil into the vine and out to the branches, and fruit is borne by the branches as nourishment is constant in the vine to the branches. Our Lord then describes the fact that we are to abide in Christ that way. God's word is to abide in us, and we receive nourishment from his word. And the result of that abiding is that whatever we ask, he will answer. It doesn't mean that we have the ability to heap answers to our selfish needs, but as we're abiding and Christ's word is in us, our wills mesh and merge with who Jesus Christ is and his will, so that our hearts become his heart and his word becomes our guide. It's a constant life of fellowship with the Lord and even conversation with the Lord. This text mirrors that. This text mirrors a constancy of looking for what Jesus is doing in the lives of others. We could say our radar is always active. We are to be always sensitive, seeking Spirit-prepared people. This text in verses 5 and 6 has an intriguing impact on our lives. Verse 5 says this, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. The early Christians and even the first century would have thought something differently about the word peace than we would. We think of rest and tranquility, and this word does mean that. But there was a cultural connotation that this would be more of a shalom. This would be a messianic peace. This would be a follower of Jesus Christ verbally saying, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you about what Jesus Christ is doing? This is peace be to this house. And then verse 6 says this, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. So there's an agreement there. But if not, it will return to you. So here's the context. Here are followers of Jesus Christ going into a hostile territory. By their persons and by their words, they are saying to those, they are seeking to reach for Jesus Christ, and this would have been huge, far more a factor in first century than today, at least in America, maybe not in other cultures, but at least in America. For them to go into a hostile culture and say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am following the one who says he's the Messiah. To a Judeo, Old Testament, even a Judaistic environment, that would have been either heresy or something very new to them. So the test would be, here's the peace, the messianic inference. And the question would be, how would they receive this? If they receive it well, then there's going to be continued working of the Lord. If they don't receive it well, move on. In other words, you're looking for yeses. You're not looking for nos. If you end up with a no, you realize you need to be looking for yeses. So God is already giving these folks ears for the message you have. That's the beauty of this text. The beauty of this text is God is already working in hearts. We are to be sensitive to what God is doing and even stepping out in faith, identifying ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ and seeing what God does with that. Continually sensitive and looking for those in whom God is working in order to direct them to the good news of Jesus Christ. Every once in a while, we reference in a welcome or in a prayer or in a sermon the fact that there may be, even this morning in our midst, those who have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. It may be that you're very religious. It may be that you've raised in church. It may be that you've been raised in this church. But in your life, there's not a change. There's not a new life. There's not a new birth. Our desire is to see what God is doing in your heart and come alongside you and see you come to the place where you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, where you know the good news of Jesus. And with that, I'm going to encourage three things. There may be more applications than this. Well, there would be. These are three that at least we have some scriptural parallel for. I'm going to encourage us as we are being sensitive and as we are being led by the Spirit of God to see where He is working in the lives of others, could we look for at least three things? Number one, those who desire conversation. I remember if I had this on the slide. Yes. Those who are open to conversation, those who are open to friendship, or those who are open to answers. Look for those who are conversant. In other words, you may say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and they look to you and they don't shut you down. They're open to a conversation. Or maybe you don't even open the door to the gospel. They are just curious. They are just talking with you, and you realize that you have an avenue into their heart, even in a mundane moment. Look for those who are open to conversation, friendship, or answers. I may have told you this, or at least some in some context mentioned this. I'm familiar with a missionary and his wife who started a Spanish-speaking ministry in the States. As they were canvassing a neighborhood, they were either in a laundromat or a grocery store, and I don't remember the context that they found themselves, but they were talking to folks in a place of business, and they began a conversation with a lady who turned out to be the grandmother of a large family. They just struck up a conversation with her. Frankly, they were doing Person of Peace ministry. They were looking for those that they might build a bridge to in relationship. As a result of their conversation, they led her to Jesus Christ. She then asked them, would you come to my home and would you talk to the rest of my family? As they did that, they were able to lead several of her family members to the Lord. And I got to be present at the baptism where this missionary baptized several folks that he had led to the Lord, and two of them were from this grandmother's family. In the baptism, one of the fellows started off being put under the water. And again, these are unchurched, have no idea what's going on in church. Very first time they've been in a church service. As the missionary is going to raise him from the waters, this man jumped up out of the water and said, "Yahoo!" And I thought, that's beautiful. Another one, as this man was baptizing, he was raised his hand to say, "I baptize you now in the name of the Father," and some do that. This man looked up that hand and gave him a high five in the baptistry pool. I say to you this morning, may God give us holy high fives. May God give us wonderful hallelujahs as we are part of what God is doing in bringing others to Jesus Christ. This week I was talking to the executive director of a mission board, and he reminded me of something that's really intriguing to me. He reminded me that there is another mission agency that has taken Luke chapter 10 and verse 6 as one of their major tools of evangelism globally. In 1950, they sent several teams to Nepal. Nepal, you'll remember, is north of India. Think Himalayas. It's cold and mountainous and very rural. When they went in 1950, they surveyed Nepal, and they could not find one person that said they were a follower of Jesus Christ. As of just a couple of years ago, they now have documented over 150,000 Christians in Nepal. 2,800 churches. Not just because of this one mission agency, but in 1950, they knew at least they were part of the solution. In Nepal today, you can go on joshuaproject.net. In Nepal today, 5.3% is the increase of evangelicalism in Nepal. You know what the increase of evangelicalism in America is? Less than 1%. I'm going to encourage you this morning that what we have in Luke chapter 10 and verse 6 is something that we can aspire to, and it's something that God can use in Greer, South Carolina. Seeking Spirit-prepared people, looking for those who desire conversation, friendship, or prayers. Tonight, we have a meeting of missions trips for the summer. Those who are interested in not necessarily signing up, but at least wanting more information. Do you realize that this summer, our plans are to be in New York City and Mexico with groups from Suba Road? We ought to be praying now that God would be working in hearts, so that when we get to Mexico and join Chris and Sarah Collins in Mexico, and when we get to New York City and we're out on the streets of Manhattan, we are sensitive and looking for those that in whom God is already working. It's the beauty of partnering with the Holy Spirit and giving the good news of Jesus Christ and eternal life through Him. So with that, if you would allow me, would you go in your scriptures to Luke chapter 7? We're going to look at three texts this morning. Luke chapter 7, and then John chapter 4, and Acts chapter 16. I want to show you the parallel of what we're talking about this morning. And I trust that as we're looking at these texts, you say, I fit in the scenario. I fit in these stories. God, would you use me in this regard? Luke chapter 7 is the story of the centurion. Luke chapter 7 and verse 1 says this, after he had finished all his sayings, this is the Lord, in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. Now look at verse 4. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly. So of communication, what are our three things? Of conversation, friendship, or answers, which would they fall into here? I'm going to submit that they fall into the area of answers. They're looking for an answer to their problem, saying, verse 4, he is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is one who built us our synagogue. Look at what Jesus does with the answer. He and Jesus went with them. Now we read that maybe even casually, but Jesus didn't always go. He didn't always drop everything he was doing. But at this point, he's responding to somebody who's looking for answers, and he goes with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things. So he's already known there's a need. He's already responded to the need, and now he is being attentive to the need. When Jesus saw these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. So here's a man that's seeking answers, and the Lord is saying, God is at work in him. Look at the faith he has. Verse 10, and when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. Next book, John chapter 4. John chapter 4, we'll begin our reading in verse 16, and then we'll go to Acts chapter 16. John chapter 4 and verse 16, and then Acts chapter 16. John chapter 4 has to do with the Samaritan woman. You'll remember that Jesus meets her at the well. It was highly unusual. In fact, it was forbidden that a Samaritan would have conversation with a Jew, especially a Samaritan woman with a Jewish man. But here is a conversation that both the Samaritan woman and the Jewish man, Jesus Christ, were willing to forsake all of the cultural taboos and come to a conversation. Jesus said to her, verse 16, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Just then the disciples came back. They marveled, look at this phrase, they marveled that he was talking with a woman. Is this conversation, answers, or friendship? This would be conversation. Jesus is responding to conversation. Make sure I gave you the right three. And we'll finish the phrase. Then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek? Or, why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, and look at this, verse 29, come, see a man. This is the Holy Spirit working. Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? So as a result of a conversation, Jesus is able to steer her to the place where she was even wondering, could this be the Messiah? Could this be the one that we're looking for? This is seeking Spirit-prepared people. Now verse 16, save the best for the last. This is really a striking parallel, I think. I love this passage. Acts chapter 16 and just a couple of verses, and this is about the lady Lydia, the seller of purple. While you're turning, I'll just highlight the fact that she was not a believer, but she was a God follower. And we'll see this in the text. She was probably following in the traditions of Judaism. She was probably what we would refer to today maybe as a serious seeker. She was following the things that were in her culture. She was following the things that she knew. But it evidently, there's evidence here that she was not being fulfilled by that. Acts chapter 16 and verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. Now, just as a point of cultural context, at least in this point, it took, I believe it was 10 men to form a synagogue. So evidently, the synagogue was not around, or there was a group of women at least who were meeting for prayer and praying in a religious regard, if you will. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. So she was among those worshiping God. The Lord opened her heart to what would be said by Paul. This is beautiful. And she's looking for answers. Look at verse 15. And after she was baptized, so she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. She was baptized. And her household as well. This is the person of peace. This is the open door to even others hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. She urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. This is a wide open door. Lydia was a lady of commerce, and in the first century, if a person of commerce allowed you to enter into their home, this was a way of saying to others in the neighborhood, especially in a non-technological culture, you can trust this person. They're in my home. And by Paul being in her home, it would have been, listen to what he has to say. This is partnering with the Lord in the lives of others for the advance of the gospel. Seeking Spirit-prepared people. Those who are open to conversation, friendship, and answers. So I would encourage us this morning to be people that are praying for occasions such as this. Let's be praying that God would pair us up and give us a sensitivity to those in whom the Lord is already working. looking for those who would be sons of peace or persons of peace. There are several in our congregation that enjoy going on prayer walks. Let me encourage you to walk through a neighborhood, and God, would you use me even to make conversation with people that I've never met before, or walk through a place of business and ask God to pair you up with someone who the Lord is already working in their heart. Even be in a coffee shop or befriend a restaurant server, join a civic club or volunteer and put ourselves in areas where we're saying, Lord, would you connect me with persons of peace? Those in whom you are already working that may even be a door open to gospel advance, not only in their life, but in the lives of others. A couple of weeks ago, my sister Rhonda was in town visiting my parents. And she commented on something that I asked her later to send to me so that I could read it to you at some point. And I trust this will be an encouragement to you. Some of you may know the name of a pastor. He used to be in Indianapolis called Wendell Heller. Wendell Heller has had a worldwide ministry. He's a gifted communicator. He's especially gifted in finances and being able to help people in their finances in the ministry and outside the ministry. But Pastor Heller ended up with skin cancer. And he was seeing a doctor who was a religious man, but not a Christian. He was very faithful in his religion, but he had never put his confidence and trust in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I'm just going to read you what Rhonda sent me. Rhonda said, the doctor called him into a private room and said, you have something I don't have. Are you a Christian or something? And Pastor Heller said, I don't know about the or something, but yes, I'm a Christian. The doctor told him that after his surgery, he would like for him to come in every 3 months for a checkup. And he said that every time he would bring his wife and meet with Pastor Heller for about 25 minutes to study the Bible after his clinic visit. And this went on every 3 months for 7 years. The doctor then called Pastor Heller one evening and said, I have all my children around the table, and I am putting you on speakerphone, and I want you to talk with them even if it takes until midnight. I do not want you to cut it short at all. So he did. He gave the gospel to the entire family. During a checkup visit, the doctor burst into the room saying these words, I am trusting Christ as my Savior. He has cleansed me from my sin. And my wife has also trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. The next checkup appointment that Pastor Heller went to, he noticed that the doctor had written the plan of salvation on every wall of the office. He was aggressive for the gospel of Jesus Christ. A patient, not knowing who Pastor Heller was, said to him, this doctor prays with each of his patients who led him. The receptionist told Pastor Heller, the doctor has led her and all of his staff to the Lord. Talk about finding a person of peace and using it for the advance of the gospel. 5 years later, the doctor and Pastor Heller were talking. The doctor had led many of his patients to the Lord. And then met with them on Sunday afternoons to disciple, which has to do with teaching them the scriptures, fellowshipping with them, encouraging them in the Lord. He was disciple. Now remember, this is not the pastor doing it. This is the doctor doing it. He was discipling about 20 every Sunday at this time. And Pastor Heller asked how many the doctor had led to the Lord and discipled. And the doctor said that he seldom told anyone, but at this point, it was around 150 people. The doctor had considered going to the mission field. But he and his wife believed they already had their mission field. So could we say with a missionary friend that many of us know who's in southeastern Europe, could we pray, meet people, tell them about Jesus? Pray, would you join me in praying that God will use me, that God will use you to meet people and tell them about Jesus, seeking Spirit-prepared people? Life is too short not to be looking for sons of peace and letting God use us in hearts he's already, in whom he's already working. Shall we pray? Father, as we abide in you, and your word abides in us, and we are communing with you in fellowship, in praying, may our lives be so sensitive to you that you would even direct us today, this week, to those who would be sons of peace, that those in whom you are already working, that we can be sensitive to their conversations, to their desire for friendship, even their desire for answers. We may not feel that we have all the answers, but we know that you do. And for some reason, God, you have allowed us to be in their lives. You have allowed us to interact with them and come alongside them. So although we don't understand everything about that, we understand that you know the end from the beginning. And you know the need of every heart, and you have put us in that place on purpose. May we not reject that, even in an increasingly hostile culture. We'd ask that you would allow us to say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and could I tell you about what Jesus Christ has done for me? Would you open doors to hearts as well as to families and businesses and peer groups? And could it be, Lord, that you would use the army of Suber Road Baptist Church to make an eternal difference in the lives of many this coming week? That's up to you to build your church, but we want to be faithful, and we want to have incredible joy at seeing you use us to bring others to Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, would you use me? Would you give me a sensitive heart toward the needs of others? Would you use every person in this congregation? We set our lives before you. Your text is clear. Your Holy Spirit is powerful. The need is great. And our lives are short. Use us to pray, meet people, and tell them about Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.